This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hello, everybody. Pete Caliendo here. We are bringing you to a special place today, the place where my parents were born, where I had the great pleasure of living there from 3 to 6 years old, learning the language for the first time, one of the most beautiful countries, if not the most beautiful countries in the world. No, I'm not on a flight. No, I didn't fly there. I'm still in Chicago in our studios, but we are having a guest from Italy, one of the best coaches, not only in Italy, but also anywhere in the world. He's got a tremendous amount of experience. Tell you a little bit about him. Before I do, don't forget, if you're on Facebook, welcome. We appreciate being on Facebook. Do us a favor, forward the show if you can. If you're you listen to it on the podcast, we also appreciate forwarding the show on the podcast. So let's get started. My good friend from Italy, Mauro Mazzotti, very special, 7 championships in the Italian Pro League, and he's the only manager, GM, so he's got a tremendous amount of experience, general manager and manager, that's ever had 7 championships. He also was the World Baseball Classic manager for the Spanish team. The Italian, he was a bench coach for the Italian national team. Signed, and this was a great honor, signed the first Italian major league player, Alex Liddy. He's scouted more than 6 years. He's been with Seattle and the Baltimore Orioles. I could keep going on. He's got Coach of the Year with the EBCA, our good friends, the EBCA, the Italian Baseball Federation, the SEP, which is the European Baseball Coaches Association. There's so many things he's done, so many great honors, and we want to especially thank him for being an ISG coach. He's gone for us to different countries also to help ISG train coaches. And lastly, the World Baseball Softball Confederation coach. He travels around the world educating coaches. So let's welcome our good friend. We know it's a tough time in Italy right now, but let's welcome our good friend, Mauro Mazzotti. Mauro, come stai?
Hey, Pete, how you doing over there?
Senti, io voglio parlare italiano per far sapere ai nostri amici che parlo un pochetto la lingua.
Ah, bene, bene, bene. Siamo con te. Facciamo allora che io parlo in inglese e tu in italiano.
Hey, folks, just so you know, I just want everybody to know that I do speak a little Italian. It's a great honor to be an Italian-American for me. I love going there. I've been there so many times for baseball, I've known Mauro a long time. So it's a great honor also to have Mauro on the show. And first of all, Mauro, tell us, we have to talk about how things, I know things in Italy are tough, but are they progressing in a better direction a little bit?
Well, and it's the fifth day that the contagious people numbers went down. So we're still in lockdown, and it's almost a month. And we'll finish on Monday, April 13. I think they will keep us inside until the end of April. Probably May, if the numbers are still the same going backwards, we're supposed to start step 2. That means that we can probably start going out. They're talking, giving people different hours, possibility to go out. And from next week, I think most of the companies, after 2-3 weeks of being locked, they will start to work again. That's the main thing, because people cannot afford, don't work, and the economy is suffering a lot, so they're trying to be ready to bounce back, as everybody hope.
Yes, and I know I can speak for my great friends in the U.S. and around the world. We are praying for all the Italian people, as we well pray for everybody around the world. And I also did not forget, I brought my espresso for today.
Salute.
I've got my Lily espresso, just so you know, a little advertising for Lily, and a little bit of biscotto with the Italian espresso. So just for my Italian friends, I'm always thinking of you, man. Every day, that's my regular routine right before a show. But listen, thanks for joining. And first of all, I just want to say, I want to ask, we're going to be talking about different things in the game of baseball, and you've had so much experience. Right now, you might have players reaching out to you, you know, like they're inside. What do I do? You know, how do I get ready for the season? You know, any advice that what they should be doing at home that kind of help not only your players, but we got players all over the world that are sitting at home at all kinds of ages. Any advice?
Well, you know, we start, we were almost ready. You know, we get it starting the season over here, started to work out. It was like mid-February when everything started. So at the beginning, everybody stayed at home and we were trying to give him kind of a program what to do, because we could go out a little bit, at least you could run or do something outside. But then the thing got worse and we inside. So inside, you know, you can do whatever. You know, there are people, they have a little garden, a little backyard where they can do something. And otherwise, you know, you just, you do, there's a, you know, nowadays, especially in this last month, you turn on the computer and you see everybody giving lesson of yoga, giving lesson of any kind of abs, any kind of push-ups, any kind of anything, just to be active and keep a little bit in shape. That's what we, of course, we're baseball. We need, especially the pitchers need to throw the ball. You know, hitters, they might be a little rusty for the swing, but pitchers need to throw. So that's the main, our main concern when everything will be done. And we will start to do again what we love in our sport. You know, we're talking about doing the league that will be postponed to mid-June, but probably they're going to give us, I don't think, more than 2 weeks to get ready. So we need to find out in which way, you know, we can organize the league. Probably we just will play double header of 7 innings in just on the same day, and trying to not travel too far. So that's the try that and the hope that everybody has, you know, to move on from this situation.
And obviously, a tremendous amount of experience, folks, as we talked about, 7 Italian championships as a manager. So tremendous amount of experience as a manager, not just a manager, but a winning manager. Also, I know you have a lot of experience in the infield, you know, teaching infielders. But since we're on the indoors, you know, if they walk outside, like you said, a little garden, what are some, they can do some fielding drills against the wall, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's... in the last 10, 15 years, that the best drills that infielders do are the one on their knees, you know, working their hands, you know, forearm, backhand, and everything. All these kind of drills with trying, you know, to pick on the short hops, and they are the one that you develop, you know, your hands to play middle infielder. And that's the one that didn't need much space. You just need maybe a pillow below your knees, and you can spend hours doing that and softening your hands. So when everything this will be done, you might be the starting shortstop in my team.
Yeah. Mauro, listen, you know, you got to be concerned, and I'm going to get back to the infield a little bit later, but you got to be concerned, like you said, maybe only a couple weeks to – you know, get ready to play for your pitchers, especially not just production, but injury wise. What do your pitchers need to be doing right now to make sure it's not 100%, but to make sure that they can reduce the possibility of an injury also?
Yeah, well, I saw some of our players that they had a little aisle in the house, and they put the mattress at the end of the aisle, and they were throwing the ball against the mattress, and the ball was bouncing back. So he has the movement of the arm to just keep the rotation. And I saw that, of course, the old drill with the ball in the socks where you throw it and the ball stays inside, you have to tape the socks in your wrist, and then you do that. You know, you need to be a little bit genius of inventing some stuff that can simulate the throwing action.
And you know what? You know this because you travel around the world teaching coaches, and you've been in it so long that you have to be creative, not just now, but you got to be creative in the game itself. You can't always think the same way all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, the situation where you work is not always the same. Of course, we start always on the top level where you have everything you need and even more than that. But then, you know, they send you in some places where they don't have much. So you have to be creative, you know, to start to do whatever, you know, they can do it, you know, maximizing the time and the gear that they have. Sometimes no gear.
That's right. Explain to our folks, because, you know, technology is great. And I, like you said, we can learn on the internet a lot of different things out there. But explain a little bit about Italian baseball, the pro league, because I want people to understand the level of it, because sometimes people may think, oh, yeah, Italian pro league, it's just okay.
Well, you know, we play baseball in this country since the end of the World War II. You guys, American, came over in Anzio, close to Nettuno. That has been the place where baseball has born here in Italy. And since that, you know, we have an organized, since I think 48 was the first year, 1948, we have an organized league. In the last 20 years, you know, baseball has been pretty big over here. You know, we have a league that it's not a development league. It's played by grown men. A lot of them, especially the top league, we're talking, they're players that they had a little bit of U.S. college experience or pro experience. And plus, we use imports to just get our teams better. And most of the imports, they have a very good resume. Ex-major leaguers, ex-triple-A, ex-double-A, players that played big leagues in Japan, in Mexico, in Korea, that around the end of their career, they come over here to play. And of course, they're not anymore super prospect, but, you know, they have a lot of experience and they know how to play baseball, and they enjoy being in this country.
If you were to compare it to a level in the U.S., what level would you compare the Italian professional league?
Well, of course, baseball, it depends a lot on who's pitching.
Yes.
And when somebody good is pitching, I can compare to a good A-ball league played by grown player, not prospect. So maybe, you know, prospect, sometimes they don't hit the cutoff man because they have a good arm. Over here, they hit the cutoff man because they don't have any more that big arm, you know, to throw straight to the base. But, you know, it's a good league. You know, we've been, Italy been at the World Baseball Classic a lot of times, all the edition of World Baseball Classic, Italy has been represented. And I had the lucky to be on two baseball classic, one as a coach with Team Italy and one as a manager with Team Spain, when I moved for 6 years to Spain to manage the local national teams. So, you know, baseball in Europe is not that famous, but, you know, it's played almost everywhere. Sweden, Germany, France, Czech Republic, whatever, you know, they have their own league, Austria, and I think we're getting better. Of course, when you sport in, you know, it to develop needs some investment. It needs something that put money on the situation to get it better. Otherwise, you know, after a little bit, you get stuck and you stay at that level.
All right, now you had signed Alex Liddy, the first Italian ever to play in the major leagues. And tell us about what you saw in Alex Liddy, and are there other Alex Liddys coming about, you know, behind him somewhere?
Well, you know, first of all, I worked almost 20 years for a professional organization. I worked most of my time I spent with the Seattle Mariners. Then I was with Houston Astros. And then I was, until last year, I was with Baltimore Orioles. I signed many guys from Europe, more from Italy, of course, because I'm here based. But Liddy, you know, he was that kind of kid when you see at 16, 17 years old that it seems he had the full package. And he went over there and he made it. And so far, unfortunately, he's the only Italian born and raised that reached Major League. Now he's playing in as a star in the Mexican League in the last couple of years.
When you say had the whole package, explain what you were looking at when you say whole package.
Well, he had very good tools. He had size, physical size. He could throw, he can field, he can hit. He had power. And to be a big guy was not slow at all, especially his athleticism and enthusiasm was really above all the other kids at that level.
All right, folks, hey, you're listening. Mario Mazzotti, he is in Italy currently. And just so you know, he's in San Marino because his family's in Milan, so they're separated because of the virus. San Marino being another country. So not only are we talking to an Italian manager that is from Italy, but he's actually in San Marino, so it's interesting. But listen, all these championships, being a general manager, I mean, that's a lot of responsibilities. If you had to tell us what made you successful as a manager to win all these championships. Now, a lot of guys are going to say it's the players I have, and that's true. Players have to produce. But there's got to be some other areas that has helped you be a successful manager that you can share with coaches around the world to help them.
Well, I've been, I didn't have the luck of other managers to be very good players. I reached the Italian top league over here, but I was not that good. I was a backup guy. So I decided to quit young. And so I started at 27 years old in coaching. And that gave me, when you're not that good, you focus on learning things more.
Yeah.
Because they don't come that easy. They don't come that easy. So you focus on studying why you do this, why you do that, and in which way you teach it. And then, and after that, you concentrate on strategy. That's the most important things after being a baseball instructor, teacher, coach, manager. You know, you need to know what to do at the right time, the right moment. And, I've been, I'm 60 years old, but it seems that I've been on the coaching job since ever, because I've been maybe more than 10 years the youngest coach in the league over here. Plus my experience with the pros that always gave me the chance to go to the instructional league or sprint training and, working along with coaches, with professional coaches, gave me a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience that I brought over here. And especially in a sport over here, where we practice more than play, that's supposed to be vice versa. Because baseball, it's a sport where you play every day. Instead, we just don't play every day in this continent. We just practice most of the days of the week, and then we play the weekends. One, two, three games, it depends. It depends which league. And so, working a lot on during the weekdays with different drills, with having more time to teach fundamentals, probably paid off on my career.
Mauro, how do you decide, when you talk about strategy or your philosophy, how do you decide what your strategy is going to be in certain situations? Is it according to the type of players you have, or what, how are you going to, because, we can all say this is how we're going to do things, but then if we don't have the players to do it, we might have to change that.
Well, of course, you need to adjust your baseball to the one to the people that you have. Of course, if you, I had years where I had I won championship being the team with most stolen base, and I won the championship with the team with the most home runs and RBIs. Of course, the way you manage your club on this different season change a lot, but it depends on which player you have. There's been years that I had a definite cleanup guys, a definite leadoff guy, and there's been years that you need to be creative and make different try and stick with your choice for some time, for a period, and then if it doesn't work, you need to pull the trigger and change the thing.
Now, you in Italy, in the Pro League, you can trade, you can pick players. I know you don't have a big selection. Yes. So when you're building your team, because, you know, you're being a general manager, you're being a manager, when you're building your team, what's your main focus? Because there's only so many things you can have on your club.
Well, yeah, over here, making a team, it's even depends, you know, what kind of nationality you have. You're Italian, you're a foreigner, you're a dual passport, or you are a EU, European Union, you're a player. So you have to put all these pieces together, but usually I focus on pitching. Usually I focus on pitching. I believe a lot, I'm a firmly believer that you win game with pitching a defense and you'll find a way to score some. But, you know, if you don't have pitching, it's kind of tough, you know, just to always try to score one run more than the others.
And speaking about the strategy and the, you know, the things you need to do during games, a little bit in the U.S., we're starting to change a little bit, and unfortunately at the younger levels too. What are some of the things that you use in your arsenal offensively? If you need to score runs, what are some of the things that you utilize? Like, example, you're seeing a lot less bunting in the major leagues. You're seeing a lot less stealing in the major leagues. That's filtering down to the young groups here a little bit. I hope not too much, but what do you use to score more runs? Give us some ideas.
Well, I'll always been a little ant, you know. I always want to win the inning. So if they score one, you need to score two. If they score zero, we need to score one. And so I play small ball a lot. And playing small ball a lot, of course, you do it if you don't have big time hitters. Otherwise, let them make their job, you know, to produce runs. But if we don't have a team with the legit home run guys, I try to manufacture a run, get him over, get him in. You know, that's usually what I try to do. Especially I'm a firmly believer in knowing what you need to do in your lineup, a role that you have. It's not that everybody are number three, number four, number five, you know. Otherwise, you know, there's not gonna be numbers in the spots, you know. If you hit 7, 8, 9, you need to do your job in order to just set the table for number 3, 4, 5. So sometimes that means that you have to eat pitches. You need to fight a lot. You need to take pitches to try to go early in the bullpen of the opponents. And then when you come to your big guys, let them swing it. But before that, of course, everybody needs to know what are their role and they're different, you know, depending in which spot you hit in the lineup.
And Now, all of this is, you know, you've got normally in Italy, how many, you have a month spring training?
Yes, well, usually we have even more than that because at the beginning we don't work outside because it's cold. So working inside, you need more time, you know, so, and we have no pressure. So we start with drills and then after the soft toss, the front toss, the batting tees, then you go on the BPs with the coaches, then you go on the live BP with the pitchers, and then maybe you do defense outside and hit it in the cage because it's cold and you don't want to stand in the outfield for an hour, you know, getting cold. So we usually have more time. And then we usually 2-3 weeks before the season start, we bring in our people from outside, from the United States or the Latin country. We have a lot of Dominican and Venezuelan guys, especially coming over. Usually they're in shape because they come from countries with better weather than here. So they come over, we put the team together usually in the last 10 days when we start to do our team fundamentals like bunt plays, first and third defense, bunt defense, run down, double cut and relays, signs. We do everything as a team. And we start playing even practice games against other teams to get ready for the openings.
Mauro, I'm going to get to a question here in a second from our Facebook friend. Somebody has a question for you. But before we get to that question, I want to ask now, you talk about pressure. There's a certain point, you know, you're talking about bunting, hitting, running, moving guys over, whatever it may be, double stealing. There's a certain point, it's got to be as realistic as possible. There's a point where you put a lot of pressure on your guys to accomplish these things?
Well, you always try to let them do what they do best. But because you work with them every single day, you try to create the players that you will need. If you don't have a very fast guy that you can put on leadoff, you need to put somebody that works the count to get on base because when you need somebody with good OBP. And, you know, of course, nobody likes to take pitches, but they like to, everybody likes to swing the bat. And that's normal. That's it used to be because it's baseball. But, you know, you are a team and there's any sports, there's the one that, anyone has a specific role, you know, in soccer, not everybody score goals. And in basketball, not everybody shoot a lot. So we need to just try to shape our team depending what we like. One of the best things that you hear is when they tell, you know, this team reflect the manager. And so that means that it sees that, you know, you work with them and you try just to shape them in the way you see the game.
We've got Joe, and I hope I pronounce it Italian, Guagliano. I don't know if you might know Joe, but he's asking, how do you see the current state of baseball in Italy and what needs to be done to help develop the game for the Italian youths? And before you answer that, folks, just so you know, Mauro, you know, earlier said that baseball's been there for a long time. The Italians have been developing coaches for a long time. They've been having coaching conventions. I've been lucky to be at many of their conventions. They continue to think of new ways, obviously, to get better, but things change. So it's better to ask somebody who's right there in the trenches. So I think that's a pretty good question. Where is baseball going in Italy, and what are some of the things you can do to help develop the youth in Italian baseball?
When youth need to practice under good instructions, good instruction, good teachers, good coaches, and of course they need to play more. You know, we have local academies and we have the central academy, always run by the federation, that they're doing a decent job, you know, to form players. But we need to do more. And of course, we need investment that they believe in us, they believe in what we do, and And, you know, there used to be more investment once than when they thought that Europe could produce more major leaguers. But we didn't produce much major leaguers. And so at the end, you know, we got a little bit in limbo that we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to help ourselves to get off that situation so that maybe people from MLB or people from the States, you know, that want to put a dollar on our program.
You know, Mauro, I know in Italy, you know, they work hard at trying to get players, you know, at the schools, you know, the young schools where the young kids are at, trying to show them the game, trying to make it fun for them, trying to get track them. You know, obviously, we all know soccer is the biggest sport there. And soccer, it's very difficult to track the young player to baseball when he sees soccer as the ultimate goal. But there are goals for young Italian players now that Alex Liddy's made it to the major leagues, that you have the World Baseball Classic, you have the national teams, you have the national youth teams in Italy. So there are other goals that young players can look forward to.
Well, you know, all the, you know, over here, it's, of course, it's different. The system is different than in the States. We don't play at school, but we play at private clubs. So private clubs, you know, they're doing a good job, you know, just to let the kids play, to organize tournaments, to showcase these kids and move them to the next level. But of course, you know, we need to have more people that play baseball, and you need to go into school and try to spread out the word of baseball, and then, you know, let them play. They will come to find you, the local club close where the kid live, and start to play baseball and move on.
You brought up a very good point. You know, we all know that a lot of great countries, whether it be the not the U.S. as much, but Cuba, some of the Latin countries, Japan, we all know they practice more than they play, but they also play a lot of games. So they're very lucky. In Italy, as you said, they cannot play as many games. Any suggestions for when they practice during the week, a club, to be able to at least get more game experience and make it more like a game instead of just practicing all the time?
Well, you know, we need to have more kids to play. So any club can have 7, 8, 9 pitchers or kids that can pitch. So at every practice, you know, they can finish practice like all the other sports. You finish, you know, over here, basketball and soccer are the two biggest sports. Any practice, they finish with a little scrimmage. Mm-hmm. Baseball, we don't do that because we're just one or two pitches only, and you don't wanna use them, you know, every day to pitch, because then you need to save them for the weekend. So they don't play games enough. If you don't play a game enough, you don't know the game. You will never know the game because you learn the game just to play this game. It's kind of very difficult to reproduce the game in practice because the situation are always different, and shortstop catch the ball in the hole, has no chance to throw the runner out on first base with runner second, make a pump fake and try to get the runner that moves from the second base trying to advance to third. But it's kind of tough. You know, if you don't play the game, you don't learn that, because in practice, you just do ground balls, technique, hands in front, you know, two hands, clear catch it in your palm, throw it out. But, you know, the game has to be played.
Now, what's your recommendation? This is a difficult situation in Italy. A lot of times, like you said, you don't have enough players. Even in the pro league, possibly, if you got one third baseman, you may not have two. You know, sometimes if a guy doesn't hustle, if you need to be more disciplined, how do you deal with, because, you know, you can't get on players too much or they'll quit and then you don't have enough players. How do you deal with that fine line there? That's not easy.
Well, you know, That's our problem, you know. We just, especially the youth level, we need to understand that the kids want to move. You know, a lot of coaches, they just copy what they were doing in the last years of their career and just let the kids do it. But, you know, kids don't do BP. With BP, one hit and 14, 15, they stand waiting. And that's kind of boring. We need to be creative. We need to be doing to invent some drills, something, competitions, a little game, so the kids can have fun and they can move around, they can run, they can slide, they can do them all. Otherwise, they get bored and they move on to different sports where there's more action, where they can sweat and they can get dirty.
I want to give a shout out to the Italian American Baseball Foundation. I know they help the Italian Baseball Federation, Italian baseball a lot. So a little shout out to them, and we'll put them on the show notes so you can go to their Twitter. Also, we'll put Mauro's information on Twitter so you can get a hold of him. Hey, Mauro, the other thing is, I think my camera changed here. They're watching Pete Caliendo on Baseball Outside the Box for some reason on Facebook, but that's all right. We'll get the camera switched in a second. As a manager, coach, all these years, what has Mauro Mazzotti changed in his style? What have you learned maybe that's different that you changed as a coach or as a manager in what you do in the game?
Patience. it's not my case, but you don't get gray hair for nothing, you know. When I was a 30 years old manager, I was so upset every single inning. But of course, you know, I learned that it cannot be like that. You know, baseball is not a game where the manager has to yell a lot and he has to show the calm face that the hitters wants to see, and the face that give them faith that they can get the job done. So be always positive and snap every once in a while. As you say in the States, it's a good time to throw the spread against the wall.
If you have spread, yeah.
So switch panini. And, you know, I sometimes, you know, so they realize that they probably crossed that line. But, you know, getting older, you just get more patient, and you put more the players on the top level. And when you're young, you want a lot of time, you want to be me. But it's not, people come watch the game. They don't want to see the manager. They want to see the players. They want to see the game played by players. So, you know, you learn that on your career. And of course, you have to be so unselfish to realize that he has to be like that.
Yeah, and you said earlier that players or the team will follow the manager on how he does things. You know, and I know in Italy, being Italian, I know we can get emotional and sometimes not keep our cool. Some of the managers that you learned from, who would they be, or coaches?
Well, you know, when I was younger, my first years as a manager, I spent almost the whole summer with the A-ball league of the Seattle Mariners in the Northwest League. And the manager over there, you know, it was a single guy, not married, and we were living together, and we spent so much time, you know, talking about baseball. And at that time, there was very, very few computers, and so we used to have the playbook, and we were passing all the game, all the plays, why you do that. And why you do this bunt plays if you're winning, or why you do that if you're losing, you know, all this kind of stuff that I learned a lot. And then, you know, during during the rest of my career, I learned from almost from everybody. And you never stop learning. You never stop learning from anybody, you know, that can talk about this stuff.
What's your advice to coaches anywhere when, you know, after a ball game, when you have a real tough loss, you lost by a lot, or you won? What's your advice as far as meetings? Because a lot of people like to meet right after the game, or, you know, and again, pro league could be different than youth. So what's your advice there?
Well, you know, a lot of sometimes it's better depending on the temper that you have and depending on the game that you just finished. It's better, you know, just to calm down, go home and talk the next day. Sometimes when as I told you before, you think especially with players, it's kind of tough to play, to talk about performance. You know, you're not going to blame guys to strike out three times or a hitter or a pitcher that got beat. You always talk with them attitude, because having a good attitude is costless. You know, it doesn't cost anything, and you want to always them to play with that, with the right attitude. And usually when you have a tough loss and you don't have a good attitude, that's the one where you want to step in. Otherwise, if you lose, even if it's tough loss, okay, it's baseball. You win and you lose, and it's not another sport. You know, it's baseball. You gotta be. It's impossible to finish 1,000. It's like the hitters that they come back to the dugout and they smash their helmet and their bats. And I told them, there's nobody that hit 1,000 in any league in the world. So you better get used to that. Most of the time you will fail. So you know you cannot get mad every single time you don't hit a line drive. So that's the same situation as a manager on handling the single game or the single season.
Great, love it. What's Mar Mazzotti do during the game? What are you doing during the game? What are you looking at? Are you writing things down? You know, some suggestions for coaches out there, managers, to help them a little bit.
Well, I always have a booklet that instead to have just the lineup, I write the lineup of both teams in a booklet that, you know, can stay in my back pocket. And I have them so I can have all the games on the same page, I would say, on the same book. And I always try to think ahead. I always try, especially I let the game go until the fifth, and then I try to think ahead, thinking what we got in the pen and what they have in their pen, and try to play some matchup. If I can play the matchup, well, over here, we didn't have the rules so far that the pitcher have to pitch to three hitters yet.
Yes.
Not in the States.
Yet. The special word, yet.
They didn't have time enough. and so we're trying to use our bench as much as possible. And of course, we don't play many games as in the States. So it depends how important is that game. It will give you like momentum for your season, momentum for that part of the season. It's not like, okay, we lose today, we get them tomorrow. Maybe you have to wait 7 days to play a game. So between winning and losing, there's a big difference, because then maybe you have to think of that situation for a lot of practice games, and because you cannot play the next day. So we just take games more in the soccer way, you know, or in the football way, in the American football way. So you play one and you play one game at a time.
Excellent. Love it. Listen, we're coming close to the end here. I want you to talk a minute about some important things in infield. But before we do that, any advice for coaches out there that have players on the bench? You know, a lot of times they're not playing 3-4 innings. Anything you do, maybe for younger players, that they, you know, when they're on the bench, can you have them do something to stay into the game a little bit?
Players that they don't play much are the one that we need to take more care, because are the one that you cannot have the luxury to lose them, because during the season you will need them, and not playing much, not get used to the pressure, you know, their job is more difficult than the one that they play regular almost every game. Plus, you know, you want them to be part of the team as much as possible. So whatever, you know, whatever, any kind of help, whatever. You know, I like to talk a lot in the dugout, so I just, people get involved. That's why I get, you know, mad sometimes when guys, they don't pay attention, they don't know the count, or they're talking about their personal stuff, or just let's try to get the first move of the pitcher. Let's try, he will have to give some, just when he thrown the changeup, he has have to do something in his glove or something in his that is showing, or pattern just on look on second base. We try to steal. So let's see when he goes one look, when he go two look, when he goes old, does he old much? And all these kind of little things, you know, playing the baseball, the old school, you know, even if it's not a good subject right now on second base, try to sneak pitches in between the legs of the catcher, of course.
Sure, absolutely. So you're constantly teaching as the game goes on.
Well, I try to keep the guys involved. Yeah. And I try to confront them, you know, is he doing that? Are you sure? He's moving his index in his glove when he's going breaking ball. Wow. Let's do that. Let's check. Okay, let's check the next. And so you can chat with everybody and everybody stay on the same page and stay focused on what we're doing. You know, that's a thing that, you know, I like, especially at this level. Of course, you know, we're not talking about big league level, but at this level, it's a good situation where you can stay focused on the game and everybody on the same page.
Yeah, and that's great for all the young levels because, you know, if you're sitting on a bench and it's not any fun, you know, there's no interaction, there's no learning, then, you know, after a while, kids get bored. So I think that's awesome. I love it. Now, I know you have a passion for infield. We may have to bring you back for a whole session just on infield, or fielding. But let's ask this question. When it comes to infielding, what are some of the major mistakes we make, whether you're a player or somebody teaching infield? What are some of the mistakes we make in infield?
Well, if we just go on the second step after catch the ball, I think the bigger step is infield is using angles. Drop step and angles create good infielders, even if your hands are not Omar Vizquel hands.
Mm-hmm.
So if you use your feet, if you use the right angles, and for using right angles, you need to drop step a lot on the side, on the one. You know, when I was a player that I was not that good, I played infield, and I was diving for any ball. So I was always dirty. And one coach one time when I didn't play anymore, said, we're explaining this, we're saying, have you ever seen third basemen that are all dirty? They always dive and they never catch a ball.
Yeah.
They don't have a chance. They cross over and dive. That's only what they have. Instead to drop step and use it and get a bigger, deeper angle and try to catch the ball. Right now, nowadays in infield, if you don't have good feet, you cannot play. Footworks dictate where you will arrive. Of course, if your ability are average, if you're a superstar, you can do whatever. One time you mentioned our convention coach in Italy. One time Ozzie Smith was one of the speakers, And I ask him, Ozzy, do you, when you practice with your players, do you have a specific stuff that you tell them when you go on the hole as shortstop, and specific, you know, movement of the feet to get in the power position to throw the ball on first base? He said, no, I go on the hole, I catch the ball backhanded, I flip and throw first base. I said, oh, thank you.
Now, those type of things with... You mentioned footwork. Footwork's so important. We can develop footwork as young with the young kids. What's something you might do? Maybe one thing you might do to develop footwork.
Well, the skip rope, especially now,
mm-hmm.
like the boxers. You know, yeah. when you are on your toes, see what's the biggest mistake that everybody remember in the World Series. On infielders, the one from the poor Bill Buckner, he was on his heels. When you are on your heels, you cannot catch any ground balls. You stay on your toes. You don't cross over early. You drop step, use angles, and use your hands, doing all the drills that you can do inside on your knees and. This and that every day, and as I told you, even if you're not, if your hands are not the one of a super infielder, you can play at decent level.
One big question that comes up, and then what we'll do at the end after this question, I'll let you give you some time. Any advice for coaches you want to give in the U.S. and around the world as a manager or coach? But one last question. A lot of times in infield, you know, you hear people say, oh, you got to get in front of it. Do you always have to get in front of the ball, or is it better to backhand the ball sometimes?
Well, before to get in front of the ball, you need to round the ball.
Ah.
You need to round the ball, get in front of the ball. If you don't round the ball and you go straight, a lot of times the hop will play you, and instead you want to play the hop that you wanted. You want to pick the hop that you wanted. That's why, you know, that's a lot of phrase that you tell when the kids stay in front of the ball, use two hands. But we will see that when we get older, teenage, when your hands goes outside the body, you don't want to use two hands, but you want to use one hand. But the kids always have that in their mind, use two hands. And that's another step they need to do from youth baseball to adult baseball.
Yeah, and I've got to, since you said that, I'm glad you brought it up, because I think sometimes what happens, because I fell in that, you know, when I was younger as a coach, I was teaching always in front, always two hands, but that doesn't always happen. Sometimes you have to use one hand. So why not start teaching that to younger kids also, because they can do both.
Yeah, it depends, of course, of the athleticism of the kids, you know. I always, as I said before, I always tell them, you know, you want to play adult baseball and step a notch from the kids. Now that's what we do. We round the ball. We use drop step. We use angles. We use our hands. And you never will be a good one until you use your backhand as the other side. You know, you need to have, because they always try not to backhand because they don't have the same confidence. When mm-hmm. you will backhand and on the other side, on the same way, with the same confidence, then you will be ready to go.
Yeah, so we've got to build confidence in that backhand, forehand. That's great. I love it. All right, last thing, just let our audience in the U.S., around the world, anything you want to pick that just to give them some advice to be a better manager or coach?
Well, you know, I don't want to give any advice, especially in the U.S. where you are the owner of this sport. I want to give an advice to somebody on this continent, especially if you are a young guy and you want to commit yourself on coaches, just do as I did. You know, just bring some clothes. Travel light and go around the world. You will learn different experience, you will get a lot together, college baseball, minor league baseball, whatever, you know, in Latin America, a lot of different situation where you can pick. It's kind of tough to have a big baggage of knowledge if you always listen the same people.
All right. What a great way to end the show. Mauro Mazzotti in Italy right now. Mauro, got to thank you, man. That was awesome. We love it. God bless you. I hope everything goes well for our friends in Italy. I hope to see you on the field soon.
All righty. Thanks a lot, Pete. Thanks, everybody in the United States. And hopefully this coronavirus let us play baseball in the next month.
All right, I agree. Hey, folks, I am Pete Caliendo. That is Mauro Mazzotti, the seven-time champion in Italy as a manager, also World Baseball Classic, the Spanish manager. Tremendous amount of experience. We'd love that he joined the show. I want to thank Brian Crock, our producer of the Lineup Media Group. I want to thank especially everybody in the U.S. and around the world who listened to us. You guys are fantastic. We don't have a show without you. Please keep spreading the show. We need to get the show out. Our ratings are getting higher and higher because of our audience. Any suggestions on who you'd like to hear on the show, send me an email at petercaliendo@att.net. Also, 1 o'clock Chicago time, Central time, in case you're awake, we will have Chip Carey, the grandson of Harry Carey, who's also a sports announcer, does a lot of work with Atlanta Braves, former broadcaster with the Chicago Cubs. Going to be a great talk. So again, thanks to Mauro Mazzotti, currently in Italy. Thank you to everybody. Folks, thank you to you. Wish you the best. Stay safe. And we will see you on the next show.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.